ya.
Welcome to Gwydion's Astral Podcast. I will now read an excerpt from The Lotus Born.
Hey, you.
Vairochana and the other masters and disciples then asked, Master, as you intend to leave for India... should bring forth signs of accomplishment by being diligent in practice. Finally, offer pleasing gifts and respectfully request the instruction. Some people grovel for teachings with flattery and ingratiation. Is a piece from July 5th of 2006.
Gwydion gone mild!
I sing to you a brief and unremarkable story which has taken place over these past 3 hours and which has compelled this writer's bricked-up author at heart to set something down other than a haiku. The following is all true. I awoke this morning, still drunk and a little paranoid, with new bruises of unknown origin on both of my arms and a headache. I awoke this morning and left the car in the driveway. As I turned the corner toward the bus, I realized I had left my ID badge in my room, so I returned. I searched everywhere, under everything, not wanting to spend the day wearing a visitor sticker, equivalent to a dunce hat, and having to wait for the receptionist to buzz me in after every trip to the bathroom. Finally, I gave up and left, again. Much to my approval, I stopped to check the car and found it. I walked down to the street, turned, and approached York. The cars were evenly spaced, so as to block my passage indefinitely into the foreseeable future, so I turned and walked the other way. My bus came and went, which made me smile. I walked to the bakery to break a five and pick up a perujo and coffee. I did already have exact change for my day pass, but something about the routine of being quite likely the only white guy frequenting the little bakery a half a block from my house, and being at least in this small way present in the community in which I live, compelled me to break the five this morning in spite of this, I suppose. As I stood with my brown bag and coffee, and the man handed me my 3 ones and coins, I turned to put them in the gratuity jar. I saw another of my bus pass by, which made me smile. I walked out to the sidewalk and began drinking my coffee and reading a short story by Algernon Blackwood about a man who is the only Englishman in a French town where everything seems to be synchronized, where he does not need to make decisions because everything seems to already have been decided for him. My bus arrived, and I finished off my coffee and got on. It was the same driver as Monday, and the guy who was always there waiting for the bus when I am was already on the bus. I nodded a sort of hello and took my seat, continuing to read. As we turned the corner, the man with the beard got on the bus, as always. The girl that always gets on and sits next to me and reads quietly, regardless of what other seats might be open, then gets off down the street from Franklin High, with whom I have never spoken, did not get on the bus at her usual stop, on account of the summer vacation, I suppose. I eventually exited to catch the Gold Line to Union Station. Exited first, ran down the stairs fast enough to break my neck if I should ever trip, and down to the Red Line. Reading while walking, I stood at the spot I always stand at, where the door will be when the train arrives. The train arrived, and I did not look up from my book. I knew it was the wrong train because the door was not directly in front of me, but slightly to the right. The operator for the North Hollywood train stops a little early. After the tone sounded for the doors to close, I looked up for a second to be sure, and I was correct. The next train stopped, and the door was square in front of me. But some woman pushed her way around my side to be the first one on the train with me as the second, which bothered me slightly, since I'm always the first one on the train, and can always claim that front right seat before anyone else gets it. Luckily, the woman did not take it. The three nurses in blue. I like the little differences. Reading in the book about the man and the town and everything happening as if on cue, I began to learn that the people in his town were actually watching him and intentionally lulling him into this sense of oneness with their community for their own strange reasons. I exited the train and saw Sheila, and we walked together as usual, and saw Jean get out and run up the stairs as usual. Sheila and I commented about Jean running up the stairs to catch the 7:20, as we always did. We catch the 20 so we don't have to walk as far, but we have to wait a bit longer. At the bus stop, the bank security guard wasn't outside. I commented to Sheila, "Where's the security guard? He's late." And she laughed. I finally arrived at work. I felt like I was in a bubble. That while the real world was going on out there, I was still a little drunk and dreaming.
"Ed?"
I heard someone call, and I replied, "Yeah?" I realized that the sound of my voice was a different kind of sound than the one that had just called my name. The other one was more like a thought than a sound, but it was loud enough that I mistook it for a sound. It wasn't my first schizophrenic moment, but I was a little embarrassed to have just proclaimed, "Yeah," in response to nothing and in front of my coworkers. It was like a perfect little cherry on the hot fudge sundae of my morning, and it struck me as very funny, and I started laughing uncontrollably. Then, I had to write it all down. Something my dad wrote to me. In 1979, November 18th, when I was 1 year old, I was in a crib in the next room, and he wrote this in his journal to me. "I am an educator and have had the opportunity to observe a severe generation gap between children who were raised in abundance and parents who were raised in the Depression, provided them with everything but acknowledgement and attention, then stood aghast when their children rejected them and their values. Well, when I write this here, it appears as obvious as the nose on your face what happened, only it wasn't and isn't to many of the parents and children involved. The current crop of students is far more aligned with their parents than the ones of whom I just wrote, who populated or comprised the majority of my classes 10 to 8 years ago. Now it is different. Nevertheless, I have learned a few things and want to record them here. 1. Your desires and the times in which you live may be different from mine. 2. I do not want to foist or coerce my value systems upon you. Yet, there is an ego urge to do just this, which may someday get out of hand, and I don't want it to get out of hand. 3. I want to accept you just as you are, and not as you are not. I am all heaved up and significant as I write this. I'd like to move off of this rather Victorian mood and share with you in a more humorous vein when I can. You do have a magnificent sense of humor, and you laugh a great deal. That's good. The whole family is a bunch of eccentrics, and I'm sure you will have realized that by the time your eyes survey this with anything like adult consciousness. I'm going to quit writing in this thing now before I get all heaved up and serious as John Milton in an outhouse. I shall return to it later. Close."
Thank you.